Welcome to the Devils in the Details radio show live on SkidRowStudios.com. Here's your host, Juan Russell.
Because the land of love and freedom is just a baby's breath away. And if we hold hands together, we can bring back the USA, the USA.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome to the, of course, Devils in the Details radio show. Thank you for joining me again here today. Of course, my name is Wyme Russell, and this is a blustery cold day here at Skid Row Studios in the filthy yet functional, of course, downtown Los Angeles. Now, that's where we are, and that's where all this information comes to you from. And if you're new to the show, welcome. We do need live listeners, new listeners, downloaders, and anyone interested in this message, please share it with your friends. I need the help. Now, the show only works with you. So, it only functions with your support. So please, if you like the information I'm sharing, share it with your friends and family and help me get this information out, because it is imperative that we all learn these topics. Now, you can always call into the show, and you know that, 1-800-893-9562. That is the number. That's 1-800-893-9562. Love to, discuss any topics or any feelings you have on the topics we are discussing today, which are very important. Now, this, I feel, could possibly be the most important show that we have done so far. Now, today we look at World War III. In our look at World War III, what we're going to do is to try to figure out if war is possible, or if I'm paranoid, which I certainly could be, or are we already there, right? So are we already close to the potential of World War III? Here we go. All right. Thank you. That was Mr. Tom Waits. Hell Broke Loose. Yes, that's a good one. Check that out. Now, if you pay attention to the news and media, one thing you have probably heard your whole life was the possibility or potential of a World War III. We've lived under that, and we all live under that now, obviously. And since World War II, if you think about it, we have had many regional wars or conflicts, but we haven't had an all-out multi-nation world war, right? I guess the holding off of a World War III was partly due to our nuclear arms buildup of the Cold War era. So if you are my age, then you are, of course, you grew up under this threat of mutual assured destruction or nuclear missiles, from Russia or wherever, coming across and completely devastating both sides. And there's movies. We all know we are well versed in that reality of World War III. But now, we always have to start with questions and our views on potentially what's going on now. So I have to ask you. Now, was our entry into every major war in our history legitimate? Right? It's a valid question. I have to ask. Now, do nations really have to go to war? Is there really a reason that nations go to war? Or is war a provoked mechanism of financial investment, not only for the weapons manufacturers, but of course, the natural resources that that the countries claim when they invade. But is it not, is war necessary? Essentially, that is the question. And that is an important question. What really causes war? Well, the answer, in short, is money. And I'm pretty sure most of you knew that I was going there. But money is clearly the motive for everything, including war. Now, power... remember, power is merely a byproduct of the strength of your military power. Now, what creates the strength of a nation's military? You guessed it, money, right? You can't build a military without billions and trillions of dollars. So it is said that since the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank, which of course is our nation's central bank, we've mentioned that on the show in the past, which is the private bank, of course it's private, and that is the bank that has the power to issue our currency. So they are quite powerful. That would be the most powerful central bank on the planet. Now, since the creation of the Fed, we have had one major military conflict after another. And it has allowed the arms industry, you know, this huge, you know, military industrial complex to flourish beyond all expectations. So let me read a quote, and this is great. And I'm sure if you study, you know, wars and World War III, you've heard this, but this is excellent. And it sums up the money talk pretty clearly. And it is obvious and it's clear. And we all know that money does drive everything and even war. So it has been called one of the most lucrative things that can happen to banks. It forces countries to borrow huge amounts of money at interest, right? So think about that. So what a war really does is makes these countries, forces them to go to these central banks and borrow billions and billions of dollars at interest to run the war. So who really wins war? The banks, right? Because it occurs, I would imagine, both sides could be borrowing from the same bank. This sounds like a conflict, but, you know, that's just all the way, that's the way it works. Now, Major General Smedley Butler, that's our guy. He was a 2-time Congressional Medal of Honor recipient. He was a major general in the U.S. Marine Corps and outspoken critic of the U.S. military. He, you know, of course, at the time of his death, he was the most decorated Marine in U.S. history. And during his 34-year career as a Marine, he participated in military actions in the Philippines, China, Central America, the Caribbean, and France during World War I. So the reason why I gave you the little backup on Smedley was because, you know, I wanted to establish that this is information is coming from a reputable source. So Butler, stated in his book, War is a Racket, okay, 1935, so a long time ago, and I quote, here we go. So war is a racket. It has always been, it is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and losses in lives, right? So it has been estimated by statisticians and economists and researchers that the war year yielded $16 billion in profits. That is how the 21,000 billionaires and millionaires got that way. This $16 billion in profits is not to be sneezed at. It is quite a tidy sum, and it went to a very few. And that's, of course, quote, unquote. So look at that. You know, and of course, that was the reason why we were drawn into World War I. So the reason we are drawn into all these world major conflicts in recent history, World War I, World War II, and we're going to go through those. Sorry, I kind of jumped ahead. Always end up to be false flags. Now, we discuss false flags a lot on this show. And what we're going to do is kind of look at the major wars in our history and look at what actually caused them. Because the question on this show is World War III. Is it possible? And what starts wars? So if World War III is possible, what's going to start it? And if we're going to look back at history, and what always ends up the cause of all these conflicts are false flags. So let's first look at the questionable event that brought us into World War I, and that is the sinking of the Lusitania. Yes, so on May 7th, 1915, the English luxury liner, the Lusitania, was struck by a German U-boat torpedo while it was en route from New York to Liverpool, England. Now, the ship sunk in 18 minutes. So put that in contrast to the Titanic, right? 3 hours or so. 18 minutes, a huge luxury liner going down. Must have been horrible, you know, obviously, to say the least. Now, in the end, 1,200 people lost their lives, including 100 children. Now, the intelligence, here we go. So the intelligence now tells us that Colonel Edward House, okay, I'm just going to tell you the names, and you can research these names, pardon me, now, who was a top advisor of Woodrow Wilson at the time. So Colonel Edward House, in a conversation between Sir Edward Grey and Mr. House, and now Sir Edward Grey was the Foreign Secretary of England. Him and Mr. House were having a conversation regarding America and its stance on the war. Now, Grey asked House, what will America do if Germans sink an ocean liner with American passengers on board? House replied. Now, I believe that a flame of indignation would sweep the United States, and that by itself would be sufficient to carry us into war. On May 7th, 1915, the Lusitania was reportedly moved or sent into hostile waters and was shot by a torpedo in the coal bunker portion of the ship. This caused massive explosions and caused the ship to sink in 18 minutes. So that's horrible, right? So the Lusitania's sinking caused Woodrow Wilson, which was the president, to enter the U.S. into World War I. So there it is. And it was all done by essentially or possibly cruising the ship into hostile waters, potentially facilitating, you know, the German torpedo attack. So the story goes, you know, they potentially knew how to get us into war. They knew where to put the ship, and either by orchestrating the entire event, or just steering it to where it would be shot down and letting it get shot and torpedoed and sunk, it allowed us to move into World War II, World War I, which is terrible because it came at the loss of many, many lives. Now, moving on, let's just quickly keep going. Hey, we're out the gates on this one, which is excellent. But, moving on to World War II, and the devil is, of course, at it again. And I'm sure this is something that we've all looked into quite a bit. And these are all, of course, simplifications. But my important purpose is to steer you to this information so that you research it and look it up for yourself. Because I'm telling you, the reasons why we're in these wars, there really was no reason. There's major questions. So let's move on to World War II. The pre-knowledge of the attack, or the possible pre-knowledge of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Okay, so let's take a look at Pearl Harbor.
3 nights a week I work until 7. Gotta make me some overtime. When you got a wife and some children, how the hell can you save a goddamn dime? Hey Joe, don't it make you wanna go to war once more? Hey Joe, why the devil did we go to war before? What the hell for?
All right, thanks. That was from the MGM film Hey Joe. If you haven't seen that, check that out. That's an amazing film, of course, sung by Dean Michaels. Now, I know these events that I'm speaking about today are huge in spectrum, and I'm certainly not trying to rush through anything or simplify anything, and please understand that. But the events must be understood and studied and researched and looked into. Don't just leave these things in the history books. You know, let's look at why we've gone to war, and if World War III is possible, what could possibly take us there, right? So the attack on Pearl Harbor, of course, is the reason why we entered World War II. Now, Pearl Harbor, was it possibly an attack that could have been avoided? You know, I have to ask you that. Now, I have another question. You know, here we go. Now, if you really researched this or looked into Pearl Harbor, here's a question. Now, did we have decoded information and knew that the Pearl Harbor attack was coming? It's possible that we did. Let's take a look into what we now know about the pre-attack knowledge that potentially brought us into World War II. Now, of course, the U.S. World War II, this is the key information. Here we go. So the U.S. World War II code-breaking operations were essential to Allied forces defending against potential enemies, right? So they did these code-breaking operations, and they were quite successful in that, in determining what the enemies would do. So in the case of Pearl Harbor, the decoding would be from the Japanese, all the Japanese cables. Now, during World War II, Franklin Roosevelt was our president, of course, and evidence has emerged that FDR, or Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had decoded Japanese information regarding specific targets in the harbor in Hawaii. Now, historian Richard Hill, who holds a PhD from Georgetown University, has researched the issue of whether our government knew the attack was going to happen and whether they possibly allowed it to be carried out. Now, this of course, all guaranteed our entry into World War II. So when you look at the events that brought us into war, and you want to question why and how they happened, here again are major questions, right? So on October 9th, 1941, an intercepted diplomatic cable from the Japanese High Command arrives at the Office of Naval Intelligence in Washington. Okay, so months prior, the U.S. had already broken the Japanese diplomatic code. So they had already had figured out how to decipher this, these specific cables, and they actually received one that was notorious in nature, and it was the notorious bomb plot messages cable. Now, these were discovered from a cable sent from Tokyo to the spies in Hawaii. So the Japanese obviously had spies in Hawaii, and they were sending back and forth these bomb plot messages. Now, of the thousands of decoded Japanese cables, the bomb plot messages were unique in the fact that they requested the specific locations of every U.S. target in the harbor. Yeah, so look into the bomb plot messages, and what they wanted was a grid or an overlay of everything that was sitting there and what the potential, you know, targets, damages were, or, you know, they wanted to know where everything was sitting at a specific time. Now, the specificity, the specific nature of the request, couldn't get that out, my apologies, was a red flag of a potential attack, right? So they knew these they knew that they were looking for specific targets, and it had to be a red flag to anybody looking at the information. Now, the chief of naval operations at the time, and I'm going to give you the names just to let you know that it's real, Admiral Harold Stark, who then passed it on to Army Chief Staff General George Marshall. Now, I give you those names only to establish that this was the highest level chain of command. Okay, so then according to, of course, historian Richard Hill, the intercepted cable then went to FDR himself. Now, I mentioned those names because if it is in that highest level of, you know, in the highest chain of command, then why wouldn't it hit the president's desk? It makes sense that the president would have access to this type of information. It only makes sense. But the president had to be making all the decisions that were controlling our militaries at the time. So why wouldn't he have that information? Now, of course, a simplification of the attack, as always, but I want to let you know that the events that took us to war, in World War II, are under question. It's not just automatic. It's not just a Hollywood movie that we're all just supposed to, you know, believe, and we're supposed to understand the real history behind all of these events and look into it, people, because this is one we all have to learn the correct version of. Now, the attack on Pearl Harbor took 2,400 lives and pledged us to the devastation of World War II, which we all know. There's a lot more to the attack on Pearl Harbor, like a U.S. coordinated Japanese radio silence just prior, to the attack, and there were possible early unreported sightings of the planes coming in, right? But in the least, again, our government was found inept, right, to act on prior intelligence to prevent the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, right? Once again, now I ask you, was it again coincidence that our government held some sort of pre-attack knowledge and potentially allowed it all to happen? It is possible. I mean, to possibly profit and proliferate from the U.S. Great Britain imperial stronghold on world power. So the U.S. and Great Britain have this stronghold on world power, and does not every war start to, make that even stronger, to grow that power? I want you to look into that as well. But let's keep going, and let's jump into a more recent and publicly known false flag. So we're just moving through history, just knocking them off. Please look up this information, and of course, if I haven't mentioned this already, I will post all my sources on my Facebook page, or the Devils in the Details Facebook page. So please take a look at that information. It's important. You do. So here we go. So let's jump to a more recent and publicly known false flag that had utterly deadly ramifications, and that was the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And of course, that ushered us into the Vietnam War the Gulf of Tonkin incident that ushered us into the Vietnam War. So here we go.
Until the philosophy which owed one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until there no longer
All right. Thank you there, Bob Marley. I appreciate that. Good stuff there. Now, as we move through these, remember, there are these are the reasons that we went to war. I mean, period. This is heavy, heavy stuff. And I want you to understand that in every major war, you know, there has always been some sort of deception that has gotten us into the conflict. And the Vietnam War was no different. So here we go. The Gulf of Tonkin incident was actually two incidents 2 days apart. Right now, on August 2nd, 1964, the destroyer USS Maddox came under fire from three North Vietnamese patrol boats. A battle resulted in which the Maddox and four U.S. Naval F-8 Crusader jet fighter bombers strafed the torpedo boats. So that was the first attack. Now, let's hear it described from the then Secretary of Defense, serving under Presidents John F. Kennedy and LBJ, or Lyndon B. Johnson, Mr. Robert McNamara. This was the man in charge of the Pentagon and our military from 1961 to 1968, and of course, during the Vietnam era. Now, he is also the gentleman who, in the film Fog of War, tells us that the attack was not quite what it seemed. Let's take a listen.
On August 2nd, the destroyer Maddox reported it was attacked by a North Vietnamese patrol boat. It was an act of aggression against us. We were in international waters. I sent officials from the Defense Department out, and we recovered pieces of North Vietnamese shells that were clearly identified as North Vietnamese shells from the deck of the Maddox. So there was no question in my mind that it had occurred. In any event, we didn't respond. 2 days later, the Maddox and the Turner Joy, two destroyers, reported they were attacked. There were sonar soundings, torpedoes had been detected, other indications of attack from patrol boats. We spent about 10 hours that day trying to find out what in the hell had happened. At one point, the commander of the ship said, we're not certain of the attack. Another point, they said, yes, we're absolutely positive. And then finally, late in the day, Admiral Sharp said, yes, we're certain it happened. So I reported this to Johnson, and as a result, there were bombing attacks on targets in North Vietnam.
There you go. So 2 days later, on August 4th, the USS Maddox and the USS Turner Joy also allegedly came under fire from the North Vietnamese boats. But the radar of the potential attack boats seemed to never exist. So here we go. And it is labeled in the official story, which it always is, right? These were labeled as ghosts, this radar. So ghost torpedoes. There's now proven evidence, of course, that the second attack never really took place. That is included in an admission by Mr. McNamara from the same film. So let's hear Mr. McNamara once again.
Johnson said, we may have to escalate. I'm not going to do it without congressional authority. And he put forward a resolution, the language of which gave complete authority to the president to take the nation to war. The Tonkin Gulf Resolution. No, it was just confusion. And events afterwards showed that our judgment that we'd been attacked that day was wrong. It didn't happen.
So it didn't happen, in our Secretary of Defense's own words, and it got us into war, guys. A nasty one too, Vietnam. So the second attack, created the Tonkin Gulf Resolution, and that allowed LBJ to take us to war without congressional approval. So another false flag committed and yet discovered, but nobody seems to. They want to let everybody off the hook, and the event is mostly forgotten. But of course, not on this show. So that is why we are covering it. So I understand that most people love to embrace the official story, especially relating to the events of 9/11, right? So 9/11, of course, being the to-date ultimate false flag in world history, which we would all have to admit, the multinational covert operation, which it was, of course, that brought us into the 100-year global war on terror. That is 9/11. Yikes. And we have major evidence, of course, that 9/11 was a false flag as well. And, of course, if you listen to the show, you certainly have a lot of that information. So, but to date, these covert false flags always seem to take us into war, or the reason why we are all in these wars. I would have to, you have to say, or you have to ask yourself, what would get us into World War III? right? What would take us to that level of conflict? What would it take to go to war with, say, Iran, you know, because that's what they're barking to do, right? Or China or Russia, or I know they're allies now, but they may not be, you know. So you have to wonder, you know, how possible is it, or how easy would it to be, would it be to start a World War III? Let's listen to a lobbyist. Okay, now listen to this guy. He is from the Washington Institution for Near East Policy, Mr. Patrick Claussen. Check this guy out.
So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war. One can combine other means of pressure with sanctions. I mentioned that explosion on August 17th. We could step up the pressure. I mean, look, people, Iranian submarines periodically go down. Someday one of them might not come up. Who would know why? We can do a variety of things if we wish to increase the pressure. I'm not advocating that, but I'm just suggesting that this is not a either-or proposition. You know, it's just sanctions has to succeed or other things. We are in the game of using covert means against the Iranians. We could get nastier at that.
Wow. So he is clearly describing a false flag. That is ridiculous. I ask you, is that all right? I mean, when you hear clips like that, do you feel all right with that and how they treat other human beings? You know, we accept that. And should we accept that as the norm? You know, manipulative deceit, right? Seems to rear its ugly head every time a bank is in need of some quick profits. Now, that is, of course, you know, just our cursory look at these events. We kind of had to stroll right through those to get through them all, but it's important to study all of this and every reason given that we have gone to war, you know, in the official stories, you know, the real stories, what have you. Check this information out and use your common sense and logic to come to, you know, a conclusion, you know, to come to your own conclusion on why so many million people needlessly die and suffer. You know, it is horrible. But you also, you know, look into China and Russia. Now they're building up major military infrastructures right now. Look into that. China now has the most modern strike aircraft carrier in the world. You wonder why? I mean, why is that? Why in Obama's Peace Prize world are governments now arming themselves to the teeth? You know, if World War III isn't possible or isn't on the horizon, why are these governments doing that? Well, unfortunately, you know, we're not going to know until possibly it's too late. But let's look quickly at the you know, World War III would more than likely be obviously nuclear. So let's look at something that's going on that the world is building to defend itself or the NATO, U.S. and NATO allies from a basically a nuclear holocaust, and that is called the NATO Ballistic Defense System. All right, so let's look at the NATO Ballistic Defense System Missile Shield information. Here we go. All right. Thanks, Outkast. That's good stuff there. Now, if you ask yourself, is World War III possible? Well, the U.S. government and NATO seems to think so. Of course, to the tunes of trillions of dollars spent, of course. Now, what can be more telling of an impending nuclear holocaust than a missile defense shield that is designed to stop just that, a nuclear holocaust, right? Yikes. The U.S. and NATO have constructed a missile defense system in the Mediterranean Sea and in the territories of several European NATO member states, right? So they're building this huge missile defense network. So the U.S. states that the entire purpose of this defense system is to protect us and our NATO allies from the nuclear attack from Iran. So everything's this buildup from this horrible, you know, this phantom horror Iran, you know. They're stoking these old dead coals of Iran, you know, being our enemy, concocting some sort of nuclear missile program, right? That's what they tell us. And it has been the reason why we have all the sanctions in place. And I'm sure you know about all of those things that are slowly killing the nation and millions of innocent Iranians look into the sanctions. But this missile defense shield is designed to use land and sea-based strike groups, right, that work together. They would receive information from incoming a satellite. So we have satellites in the sky that when these missiles go up, a heat signature from the missile is then reported to these satellites, and they are transmitted down to these land and sea-based strike groups. And then, of course, I have to mention the special U.S. Naval Aegis radar technology is the center point of the myriad of systems that go into such a complex military defense system. So I had to mention the Aegis radar because that is what our ships have that actually help guide these missiles up and to intercept the bad guys, the bad missiles, right? So why would a missile defense shield need to be created if we are moving into a more peaceful world, right? All the problems of the world, can they be solved by missiles and missile defense shields? And does that really make us safe? I don't know. But the threat of World War III comes from potential false flags, right? So if we've looked at all the other wars and how we got into those, World War III would be, potentially caused by the same thing, right? Now, either here, the U.S. or abroad, blamed on Iran, this prompting an invasion, that would be horrible. But that's a potential reality, folks. So if Iran isn't developing a nuclear weapon, which we're not sure they are, right? And wouldn't they have the right to? So wouldn't Iran have that right? I mean, if they're developing it themselves and it has a civil and military purpose, is it not the goal of all developed nations to be strong and be able to protect themselves against any other nation's threats? It's a good point, right? Shouldn't they be able to defend themselves if they have the technology and the ability to build it? I don't know. I think that it would seem fair. Now, Russia and China obviously are in some sort of new arms buildup race. And, nobody's really sure why, but I'm telling you, it's not headed in the right direction. Now, in 2009, check this out. In 2009, then-Secretary Hillary Clinton makes the case clear that the Obama administration had plans of expanding the missile shield, and its purpose was to thwart an attack from Iran and not Russia. So let's listen to Hillary Clinton.
We are not, quote, shelving missile defense. We are deploying missile defense sooner than the Bush administration planned to do so. And we are deploying a more comprehensive system. We are not reducing our capacity to protect our interests and our allies from Iran. By contrast, we are increasing that capacity and focusing it on our best understanding of Iran's current capabilities. Finally, let me reiterate what the president said yesterday. This decision was not about Russia. It was about Iran and the threat that its ballistic missile program poses.
There you go. So that's from Hillary, and that's 2009. Now, the system has been implemented, and it has actually been tested, and that is some amazing information. You know, we actually have a caller on the line, which is new to the Devils in the Details. Hello, we have a caller. What is your name, and where are you calling from?
What's up, buddy? This is the Goose. What's going on, W2? How you doing?
Good. The Goose, huh? The Goose. How we doing, Goose?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm a big fan. I just wanted to give you some info and a little background on myself. Hopefully your listeners can enjoy it.
All right.
And, stay safe. I was a rising comedian in 1985. I was a big fan of comedy and stuff. And I put my Corvette. I was a little bit addicted to cocaine. I was friends with Robin Williams, Sam Kinison. Are you familiar with those friends?
Of course. Huge stars there, Goose.
Oh, yeah. They're very, very nice guys. But after that little incident, I was recruited into, shall we say, Black Ops, a little razzle-dazzle.
Ah.
You have to pardon me. I'm on foot here. I got to keep moving,
Okay.
We're always being surveilled with our phones and our computers.
Hey, no worries.
And, okay.
Hey, Goose.
If there's any, interruptions. I'm just going, okay, someone's looking at me. I'm going to move over here real quick, okay? So I just want to give you some quick info. I love your topic. This is a very important topic.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, yeah, we're talking about World War III and false flags, what gets us into war. And we were kind of going over the missile defense shield, you know, the NATO shield they got going up for all the nuclear missiles. What do you think about things like that happening in our world there, Goose?
Well, let's see. This is my specialty, you know, the all old right. Razzle Dazzle, the old Fran Tarkington. Now, what we're doing here is we got to get people interested in supporting these wars, correct?
Well, supporting the wars or supporting the ways out of war? I'd have to ask you that question yourself there, Goose.
No. We want to have the war. Trust me, we want to have war.
We want to have the wars.
Oh, yeah. That's how we make our money. Our economy is based on money, buddy. On war. It's a war-based economy. So, you know, I know you describe these incidents where you're claiming they're false flags or whatnot, but I mean, who's paying attention to that? I mean, Justin Bieber's going to beat up the paparazzi, man.
Well, you know, yeah, we have to steer clear of old Biebs, right? But we got to learn this information. We've got to share it. You know, we got to try to get it out to as many people as possible, right? And if you're listening, then it's working, right? So I'm bringing in, I'm finding people in the world that are like-minded. Are we like-minded or are we not like-minded, Goose?
We're all one consciousness, and people don't realize it. They're eating their fast food and watching their TVs, but we're all part of one universal mind.
Good. Well, I think so, too. And you got to stay away from that fast food, though, Goose.
Oh, I eat greens and, you know, have my baked beans and whatnot. I got to move again. Civilian looking at me funny here. It's going to move over here real quick. So what I want to discuss is how we're going to get into World War III. I put some plans in before I left the service, or I was forced out. You know, these guys, they talk. What's that?
So you were in the service?
Well, yeah, you know, Black Ops.
Black Ops.
I'm not going to, I can't go too far into it, but basically, I just want to give you a quick clue. Now, our great president, our Lord and Savior, Mr. Obama, he had his inauguration recently, did he not?
He did indeed. The President of the United States, Mr. Obama.
Yeah, everybody loves that guy, right? He's got a big smile on his face. He's got some great PR photos on the Facebook with the kids throwing the football.
Right. This is true. And he's got the dog and the daughters and the wife. And he's all set, right? I mean, what's not to love about old Obama, right?
Oh, yeah, and if you criticize him, you are a racist, you are a truther, a Tea Partier.
Right.
You're all one of those things, correct?
No,
I've not questioned Mr. Obama. I suggest you never do that, okay?
Okay.
In fact, if there's people listening on my phone right now, I support the president 100%. I love Michelle's bangs. Let's hear it for her bangs, everybody.
All right. Michelle's bangs. You know, I think the bangs were an improvement, you know, if I can comment on that. She looks very nice. But what do you think about, let me ask you a question, Goose, since I have you and since you have some sort of inside or black ops knowledge, but how do you feel about the birth certificate issue from Mr. Obama? And do you feel that possibly he may be hiding who his father might potentially be? What do you think about Obama and his birth certificate?
Oh, well, the father's not the issue. His whole mother's side is part of the CIA. I mean, you can just Google search that right now. Well, if you want to be on Google's database, remember, all your internet information goes into a huge, computer database all over the country. That's a new job sector. You're looking for a job, you can apply. I'm sure you can find that on Google, too. But basically, what we're dealing with here is an issue where, the president was inaugurated, and he, you know, doesn't matter where he's born at this point, correct?
Well, a matter of fact, it doesn't. I think it's too late. Yeah, so once he was inaugurated, I think we're not allowed to ask anymore, right?
Yeah, we're moving forward. Trump tried it, you know. They paid him some money to cause a big stink, and he looked stupid with his dumb hair. And Donald did his job. He loves America, so he got that issue out of the way. That's another little razzle-dazzle trick. You just get some clown to act like an idiot. Everybody laughs at him, does their Twitter jokes, and bing, bang, boom. There you go.
Right.
Issue solved. No one's talking about it. They're talking about, the new Cool Ranch Doritos tacos from Taco Bell.
Right. And we have to steer people's consciousness, steer it away from all that crap out there, right, Goose?
Good luck with that. So, what I'm saying now, buddy, is he had his inauguration. Remind me, which two books did he place his hands on?
The president at the inauguration?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the Holy Bible, right? Had to be.
And who did they belong to? He did two this time.
Did he?
Double-fisted. Yeah, he had two Bibles. One was from Mr. Martin Luther King.
Okay.
And the other was from Mr. Abraham Lincoln.
All right. Well, those are two good Bibles, right? You wouldn't want to swear on those?
Oh, sure. Okay, now, what do those fellas have in common?
You tell me, Goose. You got the inside info, man. What do you got?
Oh, you went to public school, you know. There. Come on. Big heart, buddy.
Does it show? I hope it doesn't show I went to public school. Oh, no. That's not good.
I mean, one didn't die of diabetes. The other didn't die from falling in front of a train.
All right.
So let's say reality is just a big scripted show here from what we experienced. So this would be pretty good foreshadowing if this was a movie, correct?
Sure. Absolutely.
Sure. Okay, so we've got a supportive president, almost as beloved as Mr. JFK.
Right.
Now, what happens if he has a little boo-boo?
Right. A little who? Honey boo-boo?
A
what?
Boo-boo. Yeah, what happens if he has a boo-boo? A bum-bum. Falls down and hurts himself. Can't get back up again. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Well, what we have to do, Goose, is we have to hope that the president doesn't fall down or doesn't get injured, and we just want him to do his job the best he can, but we need him to be an honest person. Let me ask you a question, Goose, while I have you. The topic today, false flags in World War III. I understand you're a black ops guy. That's what you said? And so you want these wars to start, right? So what would be the end game for a World War III coming from somebody like a Goose or the Goose?
Oh, yeah, let me clarify. You know, I'm just doing this to make some money, some cash, to make rent.
Okay,
you know,
that's okay. That's fine.
It's my condo.
All right.
I'm just saying a great event that would, galvanize the American public would be, their beloved president having an issue. And, hey, we can blame it on anybody we want, all right? We can just say, Mr. Iranian terrorist did it. We can just say Mr. Christian Tea Partier did it. And bing, bang, boom, what do you got? You got some FEMA camps going.
Yeah.
We got drones in the air.
Right.
We got the NDAA law where you can be just grabbed right off the street.
That's right.
I'm going to move right over here real quick and avoid any issues with this person. How are you? I like your boats. Good to see you. Okay, so.
They better steer clear of you there, buddy. Let me tell you.
No. you want to be my friend. Trust me, okay? I'm on the up and up here. I'm calling into your show. I don't hear a lot of callers.
Oh, no. You're right, Goose. I certainly appreciate your support there, buddy. And, I'm always here for you. And anytime you need to share your thoughts or your feelings, please, always. Hey, man, call into the show. I'm here for you.
Yeah,
man. That's for sure.
So the end game.
What is the end game? World War III. What do you think is going to happen, or what do you think is the end result? What are they bucking for?
Well, we want less people, essentially. I mean,
depopulation. That's the goal.
Well, ultimately, yes. I mean, why don't you just pop onto your computer and Google Georgia Guidestones? It's all pre-written. It's all there.
Yes, the Guidestones. That's good stuff. Definitely Google the Guidestones. Now, what is the Guidestones tell us that they want the population under a certain amount, right? And is that what kind of the Guidestones tell us?
Exactly. And that way, we have a manageable world. We can save Mother Earth. We can conserve. Not you and me. We'll be dead. But, the people who run the show, they get to call the shots. And so they'll have less people to manage. You'll be working for them, of course. You'll have your one world bank and your one world order.
Yes,
you'll get all your favorite TV shows. Fattest guy jumps off a goofy playground thing into the water there. That show's great. The crazy plastic surgery show with the screaming women. That's a good show.
Hey,
great intelligent information. And that's the new world that we're going to have once these events go down.
It's going to be a scary world, Goose. It's going to be a scary world, my friend.
Logan's Run, baby. Logan's Run. Great.
It is a good movie. I remember that one. Hey, Goose, you're one more little quick thing from you. Hey, you're an insider, right? You mentioned the Georgia Guidestones. Can you give us a scoop on who actually built those? Or do you know? Do you have any inside information on how those actually came to be?
Yeah, the fella is anonymous. Nice guy. Kind of smelled a little too much. Old
you know him,
for me.
So you met this character.
Oh, yeah, he was at the meetings, kind of cross-eyed. You're one of those guys, you're looking at him, you don't know where he's looking, and you got to be polite about it.
All right.
He's got all these rules.
This guy's got all these rules, too. It's hard to live up to these. You don't want to step on that guy's feet, right?
Oh, no, you've seen Eyes Wide Shut. You know, you did the wrong thing, and you're out of there, buddy.
Right.
You're out of the party. You got to take the mask off and get mutilated.
Yes,
there's
that's
no
a great
party
movie.
For you.
You're right. You're right. Well, you know, I want to thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts. I really appreciated it, Goose, and I'm going to
I'm going to
write down your information, buddy.
Back off, buddy. Back off. Okay, I got to go. I got to run. I'm running.
All right, thanks, Goose. Appreciate it, buddy.
I'll just call in on some next sentence.
Hey, good luck. Wow. Whoa. Well, that's something new. All right, so that was refreshing here, the Goose. All right, so I'll write that down. You meet all sorts doing this type of work, I imagine. So that kind of bumped us out of our missile defense shield talk. But, look into the NATO missile defense shield. It is crazy. It was tested by a live fire exercise called Rapid Arrow, successfully tested the entire missile system, and it was a success at intercepting the practice incoming missiles. So it is out there, guys, and it is a huge cooperation or corroboration, whatever you say, or collaboration, I guess is the word. Pardon me, with multinations having this these. Land and based, stations that are going to monitor the missiles as they go out and attempt to shoot them down in the upper atmosphere. That's kind of what we didn't get to from the call. But these missiles go into the upper atmosphere and then they are shot and exploded in space. Now, how is that going to benefit anybody, really? That's obviously going to cause major trouble, even in that design. But the missiles that make it through, they're going to then shoot them down with this fancy Aegis radar that we have. And it is, they're going to then, blow them up, I guess, in the sky before they hit the ground. I don't know. It all seems very sketchy to me why it exists. If we're moving towards peace and not towards war and devastation, why do the events like this, or why do systems like this get built for trillions and trillions of dollars? I ask you. So let's look at how we feel about this show today. So is World War III inevitable? I'm going to answer that question with a question. Okay. Is man's hunger and greed for power, for money and power, inevitable? Okay. Man's hunger and greed for money and power, is that inevitable? The answer is yes. Okay, and it has been proven time and time again that the official stories that have taken governments to war and murdered millions upon millions of people were nothing but complete and utter fabrications. Shocking, of course, are the people who would balance the zeros in their checkbooks with the ratios of lives lost to assets gained, right? This is the scourge of evil that we must force out into the light. And that is the purpose of this program. Now, the likes of the operators who would sell out thousands of lives by concocting the sinking of a luxury liner, right? The bombing of a naval fleet and the ghost torpedoes from a tiny hostile nation. Now, with the emerging superpowers of China and Russia becoming an allied force that may one day defeat our missile defense shield. Now, imagine them coming together. That would be certainly launching the battle of mutually assured self-destruction. That would be it. So what will be the false flag or covert black operation that leads us into this devastation of World War III? I don't know. I want everybody to really think about that and look at the few facts that I've shared with you today and understand that every major war to this point, there's been questions, and they have been either outright false flags or permitted to happen, just like 9/11. We all know there were certainly, major, major issues there. Now, there are three stages to revolution, okay? So this is important information. Listen to this, okay? The first stage of revolution is ideological resistance, okay? This is when we spread the word about their evil, right? They're evil. We get the word out to as many people as we possibly can, right? Now, this word must be spread, and I urge you to tell everybody you can to study all of this information. It is imperative that we get the word out. Now, that is ideological resistance, folks, and you can certainly be a part of that. That is a peaceful journey, okay, towards this ultimate revolution, okay? Now, the second stage of revolution is civil disobedience. Okay, I've mentioned civil disobedience on the show in the past. This is, of course, non-violent resistance, okay? You withhold your obedience from the governments, or you know, your government, the U.S. government. It is a concerted mass effort to bring any tyrannical government to their knees, okay? And this form of revolution works, okay? This works, civil disobedience, right? If we all cooperate not to cooperate, we will get attention, people. I guarantee that. Now, here we go. Okay, now this is, I approach this one with caution. Okay, now the third and last stage of revolution, folks, only, and I stress, only if the above two fail, is direct physical resistance. Okay, direct physical resistance is the ultimate last resort. Okay, that is the armed revolting against a nation of invading or invading nations. Okay, either your nation or is invading you, or you know, there are other invading nations approaching you. Okay, that is a revolution of direct physical resistance. That is fighting with arms or hand to hand, folks. And this one must be avoided at all costs. Okay, we cannot take it there, because we know where that is headed, and we cannot fight nuclear warheads, Trident missiles, you know, Aegis radar systems, folks. We can't do that with AR-15s with 10-round clips. It's just not possible. So we cannot take it to the third stage, okay? Now, if you are inactive through the first two stages, that's very important to understand. If you are inactive through the first two stages of revolution and you save your efforts for the last resistance, that last step, you have failed yourself and your loved ones. And at that point, it's too late. At that point, the missiles are in the air. The missile defense shield will only protect you if they allow it to. And will that monstrosity actually save your life? I don't want to count on that. I want to count on individual hearts and minds. I want to count on humanity grabbing hold of control. I want love to control. And why doesn't it? Why doesn't love and humanity run the world? Or the need, or human need run the world? Why is it greed? Why is it money? Why do we concoct trillion-dollar missile defense shields to protect us from each other, essentially? It makes no sense. And it wouldn't have to happen if nations didn't force these issues with false flags, like all the false flags that I've discussed with you today. Please, people, look into this. And caller, that was completely insane. Goose, I appreciate your call. Please call back. That was fun. Kind of stirred it up a little bit. That was a refreshing little change there. So thank you for that. But it's very important, guys. Let's look into what's going to take our nation into World War III. You know, let's look at false flags and what has taken us into every other war in history, right? Because it's important to understand that the events of 9/11 have actually gotten us into this 100-year war, global war on terror, right? And as the caller mentioned, the goose mentioned, this NDAA, you know, we've mentioned that on prior shows. Please go back and check those out. This NDAA will put you, you know, puts the entire world it creates the world as a battlefield and puts it in their hands, guys, on what they want to do with you if you are revolting, or if you are trying to be a free thinker of pardon me about that. Pardon me there. That is the... So I'd like to thank you very much for joining me today here on the Devils in the Details radio show. Pardon me there. That little technical difficulties. My computer freaked out. Played a Christmas song. Wow. Whatever. Always something new on the show. We had a call. We had the computer freak out. But thank you very much for joining me here today on the Devils in the Details. As I told you, this was a very important show, and it's very important that we understand what gets us into all these wars that kill so many millions of people. So thank you for joining me today. Please come back next week. We got some good shows coming up for you, some guest information and some really exciting things here on the Devils in the Details radio show. I'll see you next week. We'll be right back.